Mike Craig, thank you. 5:06 on the Central Coast. It is Wednesday, November 13th, 2019. I'm Dave Congleton. A busy afternoon here. Still to come on this broadcast during the 6 o'clock hour, Matt Hoy is going to join us. His website is restrictedarms.com. I want to talk about the Supreme Court decision. Essentially, they let a lower court ruling stand, and the issue involves how much legal responsibility does a gun manufacturer have when a weapon is used in mass shootings, such as a Sandy Hook. We'll hear from Matt. We'll hear from you. It is a Dave Congleton show, always your hometown radio talk show. This hour, we continue our series of one-on-one conversations with local candidates running for office or running for re-election, as in the current case. 5th District County Supervisor Debbie Arnold is in studio. She is seeking a third term of office. I remind you and stress the fact that this election is going to be held in March, and there are only two candidates. So unless somebody else gets in, this is going to be decided in March. Time is of the essence. Here is Supervisor Arnold. Supervisor, nice to see you.
It's so nice to see you too, Dave. I haven't been here in a long time.
You've been busy.
I've been busy.
On the off chance that people don't know you, take a second, introduce yourself, please. Who are you?
Okay. Debbie Arnold. I've been representing the 5th District now for almost 7 years. It's gone by really fast. Prior to that, I was a district representative for Sam Blakeslee, worked for the state assembly, worked for the state senate, and prior to that, my introduction into politics or working in politics was I was a legislative assistant to 5th District Supervisor Mike Ryan from 2000 till about 2004.
And I'm correct, this race is decided in March, is not going to be a third candidate.
You're right. Well, right.
As far as you know,
come in at the very last minute, but.
And 5th District is Santa Margarita, Atascadero, part of San Luis Obispo, Creston.
Correct. And all the way up east of the river in Templeton. And then the way this last decade, it's been clear up east of Paso Robles. So Ground Squirrel Hollow and places like that. I represent all of that.
Any hesitation on your part to seek a third term? Did you have discussions with your family, your advisors? Any hesitation to go for a third term?
Well, no. I mean, once I realize the time is up and you either take your marbles and go home or you continue to work on these projects, that it feels like I'm in the middle of some things, you know, and to just take my marbles and go home didn't seem like right timing. So I decided I would ask for support for a third term.
What's your website, please?
It's Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, forslow.com. So all spelled out. DEBBIEFORSLO.com.
Well, welcome your phone calls a little bit later on. I want to give the candidate a chance to make her case. What's at stake in this election as far as you're concerned? How do you frame it? You versus your challenger. Why does it matter whether or not you get that third term?
Well, the very good thing is voters have a choice. So for me, I feel like I need to continue. When I was elected, I was standing on a platform of smaller, more efficient government. I recognized that increasing fees and increasing taxes were making it even more difficult for families and seniors and young people to be able to afford to stay here and live here. It's always tempting when you're sitting, as part of a government, whether it's city council or the county or county staff, because you want to do things. And how you do that is you take money out of the constituents' pocket to be able to afford that. So trying to be frugal enough to, if we create new programs, we have to reassess the old ones and see what we can't just keep taking money from folks. It's too hard, and it's not good for the economy. That money needs to turn around and be spent.
And obviously also at stake is the board majority, correct? Because right now,
absolutely.
There's you and Supervisor Compton and Supervisor Pershong. You pretty much vote in a block. And if you were to be defeated, that would tilt it towards Mr. Gibson and Mr. Hill and your challenger.
Correct.
What's wrong with that?
Well, for me, and we all come from our own life's experience and our own, I don't want to see our county government go to the bigger government, more taxation, more regulation, that kind of thing. And I think that it would.
What have you accomplished in the last 4 years? I mean, I've been on your website, and you've touted your support of local nonprofits, and I applaud that. But in terms of the big picture, Supervisor, what would you point to, particularly this last year? You were the chair. What did you get done?
Yes. So I think that we continue to support support our nonprofits. I want to say, if you're asking me what I'm most proud of and what I continue to work on, because none of this is finished up yet, but I got involved with the with Capsule's effort to build the Forte Prado homeless shelter.
Right.
Homelessness has really become an issue all over the state, and our county is no exception. Our homeless numbers went down for a minute, but they're starting to creep back up. We were able to build, and you know there was some difficulty and some disagreement on where that should be located and how it should be paid for, et cetera, but in the long run, sitting on the board of Capsule, I was sitting on the board of Capsule, I was sitting on the board of the Regional Transit Authority and the Board of Supervisors, and in the capacity of all three of those boards, able to kind of work with others to pull together the new location, which now we see is built at Forte Prado. Right. That was, San Luis Obispo never ceases to amaze me, the county and the cooperation, but we needed a bus maintenance center for our transportation agency, and we needed a home services center, and the location that had been proposed was very controversial. We weren't getting anywhere. The donations weren't coming in. And I'm not taking credit for coming up with this idea, but I'm taking credit for helping support it and move it forward. That location, that 9 acres at Forte Prado, many developers had looked at that, and because there was so much wetlands and so many restrictions, it had just a couple of small building envelopes on that entire property. Those two agencies came together, purchased. Now we have a very nice homeless services center.
But that's not in your district.
No, but it's a county facility.
Okay.
And we will soon have a bus maintenance center that is very important to the public transportation side. The Capsule, once that new location was secured, the private donations came in. That was over a $6 million building, and most of it was paid for in private donations. It serves the entire county, and it's not just beds and a meal. It has doctor's offices. It has counseling offices. It will soon have a detox center. It's a pretty big deal, and we pulled that off by working together.
My county supervisor, Debbie Arnold, on this broadcast. Are the supervisors working together?
Oh, well, sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, when you really look, we have a lot of what we call consent agenda items, which are kind of ministerial items, and we often do vote together on those kinds of things, but we have our moments where we just don't agree, and that's fine. That's normal, I guess, and for that reason, what you mentioned earlier, the 3-2 majority comes in handy.
So let's touch on a couple issues, and then we'll invite phone calls for the candidate. Again, Supervisor, your website is
Debbie for Slow, all spelled out, and I'm Debbie, DebbieForSlo.com.
Explain to us, if you wouldn't mind, please, your concerns about the Monterey Bay community power.
Sure thing.
Because we've latched onto that here in San Luis Obispo. A number of California cities have latched onto it, and you've been quite vocal in your opposition to it.
Well,
what is it about this idea that you're opposed to?
Okay, first of all, it's kind of a new concept, but the expansion of government into energy delivery. That, I have to say, the expansion of government right now into something new, when we still struggle, providing good service in some other arenas, gives me pause. But I was open-minded, and
But isn't it a nonprofit?
It's made up of government agencies, and it will be a JPA, similar to, we have several of those bodies in our county. We have Air Pollution Control District. We have many things that we've created JPAs for, economy of scale type thing. And sometimes, I mean, there's good and bad to everything. It's all about the balance. But when you have a JPA this big that encompasses other counties and many cities, we will be one small voice in a great big body, governing body.
My understanding was, yes, you're right, the government officials will be involved, but more in an advisory capacity.
It's based on a government agency similar to we have SLOCOG and we have other where you have city council members with
so too much government involved for your liking.
I'm just saying that we will become a small fish in a big pond. Something so important as energy delivery gave me pause. Yeah. But that is not the reason that I voted against it in the last go round. The reason that I voted against it, and I'm happy that here's another reason our 3-2 majority, instead of just jumping in, our county actually had an outside, a certified public accountant come in and check it out. Tell us, is this high risk, low risk? Right. And the conclusion on that, you can see I brought my paper, you would believe me that the conclusion was that there are many factors to consider, and it is a young company. It goes on to say that, you know, this is really a bit of a high risk in that they are having to commit for decades into the future, and we would be riding right. that wave with them. Should it not work out?
So are we in better hands with PG&E in your mind?
You asked me that, and I don't know that I could say yes or no in that we don't. There are a lot of unexpected turns that PG&E is taking.
Right.
I don't know that Sacramento is doing or is helping the public utilities company. Right now, we know we have a private shareholder-owned company that has served us pretty well over the decades here, and many of our employees.
So you're more comfortable with PG&E providing our energy as opposed to Monterey Bay?
If you're saying that right now after this report, I'm saying yes right now, and I made that vote right now.
Right.
What the future holds for PG&E, I mean, they can only take so much. So how many lawsuits, how what laws will come down the pike? What if you ask me 6 months from now, I'm going to admit?
I'm going
to
take
a look.
I'm going to take a wild guess, Supervisor, and say you're opposed to Newsom's plan to nationalize PG&E. You don't want the government to take over the utility, do you?
Well, how are we doing with our road system, and how are we doing with so many other things? I'm saying that I know that government has its hands in our electric delivery as it is, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm happy right now. I voted not to put our constituents, not to take this risk, and to stick with what we have for the moment.
All right. We've got County Supervisor Debbie Arnold. I promise we'll welcome your phone calls after news at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back and chat some more. We're live. We're local. We're Hometown Radio.
KVEC.
We are in conversation with 5th County Supervisor Debbie Arnold. She is running for a third term as a County Supervisor. She is finishing up the year as the chair of the County Board of Supervisors. And I could probably spend the whole 4 hours in conversation with the supervisor. But the one of the issues I want to get to, Supervisor, what is going on between you and Dana Merrill in the Tribune? Of course, he's the owner of Pomar Junction Vineyard and Winery. He accuses you of being paranoid. Quoting the article, Merrill said he and others want to be part of the team to create diverse solutions beyond simply cutting farmers' water supplies. He said Supervisor Arnold is so paranoid that irrigating farmers want to steal water that they've been denied a seat at the decision-making table. Obviously, this has to do with the impact of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. Without making people having their eyes roll.
Yeah.
It's a complicated subject, but it's a very important subject. Why is Dana Merrill wrong? You're not paranoid, or are you paranoid?
I don't think I'm paranoid, Dave. And I'll try to, because I know all your listeners, don't live up over the Paso Robles groundwater basin. I represent half of it, 500,000 acres approximately. They keep changing the lines. But I'll tell all your listeners why it matters to them. We have one of the most wonderful resources here in this county, one of the largest underground water aquifers west of the Rocky Mountains, and that is the Paso Basin. So it is important to everyone that lives in this county. But what has happened over the years, and you know, when I was first elected, my family, the Arnolds, have been farming in, not in the basin, but in the North County for 100 years now. We have a small little family vineyard and a little small winery. I know the business, and I know there are a lot of those kinds of families operating, and a lot of small wineries. The wine industry was doing great. In just as the drought hit us, we saw the influx of large agribusiness investors. And you know, I'm a free market capitalist all the way. I believe that system has made a quality of life that's good for all of us. Whether you have a lot of money or you don't, you still benefit from that system, I believe. But what happened when they first started to move in and the drought came, and Dana Merrill is, he does own Palmar Junction, but winery, but he also has been Mesa Vineyard Management for decades now. So his company has been the construction company, if you will, for a lot of big vineyards in Monterey County, San Luis County. So he has planted a lot of the vines that we saw, and I'm talking 10,000, 20,000 acres during that whole drought cycle. We were in a very severe drought cycle, and while we were trying to cope with that, we saw the plantings just come and come and come, the demand on the basin just come and come and come. And the craziest thing was, and it took me a while to figure it out, but we saw a small group come in from the outside and propose a water district. A water district is creation of a new government, and guess how they vote? We're talking every landowner, 5,000 landowners, they vote by the acre.
According to the Tribune, this is what you responded to Merrill with. Quote, you caused this problem by over-irrigating, even during the drought. So we're going to put you in charge? That's just not fair to the majority of people who live in the basin.
And I'm not just going off of my opinion either. When I said that they proposed a water district, what we were hearing back then from Dana Merrill and a few others representing, and again, he was the construction guy planting a lot of the vineyards, which was fine. But when we got to the point we were over pumping the basin, it probably needed to stop. But they proposed a water district and invited everyone in. They actually proposed it, and most people were going to be forced in, because you vote on these things by the acre. So the largest landowners were going to control the whole groundwater basin. And I went to Sacramento. I think you know that.
Right.
And I tried with Cacho's bill, or was successful in asking for an amendment saying, hey, in this particular election, creating this groundwater district, we need to change that 1 acre, one vote. Meaning if you own 10 acres, you would have no voice forevermore.
But at the end of the day, Supervisor, it sounds like your argument is that we need to reduce pumping.
Well, and exactly. So point being, those are the same folks that tried to pretty much force the entire groundwater basin under their control.
Do we take anything into consideration that the State Board of Food and Agriculture criticized the county plan?
No. Well, I just say that the county responded to that letter, and the county public works department, who spent countless hours with those very same people, even promoting that water district I just described to you, when the election finally was held, almost 80% of the landowners said, no, we don't want those people in charge of our groundwater. So me, what's my role? I represent those people. So I've been doing my darndest to make sure that people have a fair representation in the management of the groundwater. At least the county supervisors, love them or hate them, but you can vote them in and out, and everyone gets a voice.
Debbie Arnold on this broadcast. I'm sorry, finish your point.
Oh, I was just going to say, water districts were really designed for irrigators. What the attempt by the folks were discussing was to take everybody. You could have just been a homeowner on 5 acres, and you would be forevermore. Your water system would be under the, you know.
You're worried about the water being stolen by outside interests?
Well, I can't predict what they do, but it's happened in other places.
All right.
I can say that.
Debbie Arnold is here. We're going to go to the phones and let you ask questions after the news. Stick around. This is Hometown Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting live local Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. My guest for the hour continues to be County Supervisor Debbie Arnold. She's running for a third term. The election is going to be in March, and unless a third candidate gets in, the election will determine And again, Supervisor, your website is?
Oh, it's WDEBBIEFORSLO, debbieforslow.com.
Before we go to the phones, yeah. I wanted you to have a chance to finish up.
I did. I just wanted to finish up that water discussion because I want to end it on a good note. You know, the county and the partners have all been working together really hard to come up with a groundwater sustainability plan that will be turned in just a couple of months. And in it, the consultants that we hired and the many, many consultants over the years have. There is a sentence in the one single sentence that I think says it all: to stop persistent declines in groundwater levels and achieve sustainability of the goal before 2040 and avoid undesirable results as required by SGMA regulations, reducing groundwater pumping will be needed. So we're just asking, and the good news is, the rest of the good news is, I'm confident, really confident as a small family farmer, but knowing enough about the business that the pumping reductions, even for the great big guys, can be achieved with some better management practices. And so we're not talking about tearing out or having to reduce, hurt the industry, but best management practices will do it. We'll sustain our groundwater.
Let's take some calls.
Okay, great.
All right, we welcome your phone calls for Supervisor Arnold, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. We have Eric up in Templeton on KVEC. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to stay on the subject of water a little longer, and I don't think a lot of people realize what has been happening with the letter that came out that kind of smeared Supervisor Arnold and at best was misleading, and I kind of wanted to hear her comments on it. And the only comment I wanted to make about it was really to get, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but it seems like it was your opposition and even people within the supervisory board that put out that letter.
Kind of seemed that way to me too, but it's political gamesmanship is part of the job. My goal has just been to ensure that we have a fair distribution of water and that we do not give up control of the groundwater that all of the rural residents up there depend on.
This is the Board of Food and Agriculture letter that I referred to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Eric?
Oh, yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I mean, the other part is I was, and you don't have to speak on this, but I was hoping it just really seemed misleading. I don't think a lot of people understand what's going on and how it was misleading. And it's also that misleading information is on your competitor's website, front and center, kind of, and it just, you know, I just don't think people realize what's happening. It's a very complicated issue that, you know, there's a lot of complicated issues. I think it is the most complicated issue in our county.
I would agree.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy for people to just kind of think, I don't even have a clue what they're talking about anymore. But just always to remember that the rural residents, big landowners and small landowners all depend in the North County on their groundwater, right. And we need fair distribution, and we certainly don't need some people's voices just completely shut out, because right. Water districts are governments that have the power to tax and regulate you, tax you. So,
all right, Eric.
Thank you.
We go to Fred in Creston on KVEC. Hi, Fred.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, Supervisor Arnold. How are you?
Hi. I'm well. Thank you.
Thank you. Dave, I'm a really strong supporter of Supervisor Arnold. I've known her for a long time, and we've worked together on a few things. And you know, she just has a good head on her shoulders. And most of the electorate up here in the North County leans a bit on the conservative side, and I'm obviously conservative. And I've already talked to all of my friends and my associates and acquaintances about supporting Supervisor Arnold in the upcoming election, because I think that this is, quite frankly, a point when the county can either stay on what I consider to be a pretty good path right now for the last several years, or can get off the rails again.
But let me jump in, Fred, if I may, and remind our folks, and I'm sure Supervisor Arnold would agree, the research shows that 5th District is the most even divided between conservatives and liberals in the county. And it's not just a North County district, sir.
I understand that.
Okay.
I think that obviously was gerrymandered years ago, and it's one of those things we live with. But Again, I just, if you look at Supervisor Arnold's opponent, you know, she was on the Atascadero City Council for a while. She was a mayor for 1 year, Atascadero. And she has what I consider, you know, progressive disease.
Well, I know, okay.
But anyway, she supported things like the creek setback in Atascadero, which hurt landowners, homeowners in that town, and it eventually was shot down. But it was going to allow people to walk through their backyards.
Okay. Let me just appreciate the call, Fred. I got a lot of calls coming through. I'm just trying to move people along. So the district leans right.
Oh, you're right about that. It's very, very diverse. And I have done my very best to represent, because I have not ever forgotten I'm working for all those people out there, right? So I represent a diverse group of people, and I'm trying. It's all about the balance.
What about the creek setbacks? Is Fred right?
I owned a property in the city of Atascadero, I would not have liked that ordinance either. It was really an intrusion into people's ability to use their property and who might be walking through their property.
George is in Santa Margarita. Hi, George.
Hello, Dave. And hey, I am definitely a supporter of Supervisor Arnold. And my reasoning here is has nothing to do with liberal, conservative, or whatever you want to call someone. I want to say she has common sense. For example, when the state mandated our county to put together groundwater management, the staff couldn't create a new agency fast enough, and Supervisor Arnold stepped in and said, hey, we already got a water flood control district. We don't need to create more government expense. And she was very heavy-handed in making sure that we did not waste money and utilize an existing agency to perform the job. So I got to say that about her. Another thing was, I happened to come into the seniors' building for lunch yesterday, and they were having a recognition for veterans. And, I mean, this lady goes everywhere, and she was there giving the due representation that they deserve. We had one member who was 106 years old, another 100 years old. And I'm just amazed on how many places this lady has to go and things that she does for everybody.
That's part of the job, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
But she does it with such kindness. She's just a very kind person. And but she's also a very common sense person. It's, you know, liberals, conservatives, whatever, people do not like to waste money, no matter what party you're in. And even liberals don't like to pay taxes, believe it or not. And I know Debbie's a person that's not someone to want to waste tax money and or create new taxes.
All right, George. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George.
That kind of summarizes you up. You're against increased government spending?
Well,
you like a reduced government?
I like smaller, more efficient government. And what George was saying, you know, prior to any of my government work that I rattled off earlier, I'm married to a longtime rancher, farmer, into that family. My whole family works really hard, and you have to be kind of frugal because you never know what Mother Nature is going to throw at you. I also owned a preschool where I worked for 17 years in Atascadero. I worked with young families, and I just want people to be able to thrive here and have opportunity and not have to, you know, be penny pinching because their taxes have gotten too high and maybe the services aren't even being provided.
All right, George. Thank you. Let's talk to Charles in San Luis. Hey, Charles. Charles, you with us?
Had to turn off the speaker.
Okay, appreciate that.
I'm supporting Debbie Arnold for two reasons. I'm personally very moderate, if not maybe a little left of center. But the problem with Ellen Barreau and Adam Hill and Bruce Gibson is on any major issue, I will tell you, I will bet the farm on how they're going to vote, and I'm going to be right every time. You can kind of get an impression of how Pashon, Compton, and Arnold might vote, but they'll throw you a curve. They really do consider each thing. The second reason is because of Monterey Bay Community Power. I heard Ellen Barreau on your program stating that as soon as we get Monterey Bay Community Power, all our electricity is carbon free. And that's absolute bull. I even got someone from Monterey Bay Community Power who just got the job, had no experience in the business, to actually admit that, and that their mix of power is going to be exactly the same as PG&E's when they start out. They have the stated goal of going carbon free, but so does PG&E.
Yeah.
But at night, you've got Diablo, which is going away. You've got some hydroelectric, but our power is going to continue to come from gas plants and coal plants in Utah. And the idea of eliminating gas, which you can burn at near 100% efficiency at point of use, it's being burned at 35 to 55% efficiency in a gas-powered electric plant.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Any comment on his statistics there?
That is correct. He's making a correct statement. We don't know what the future holds and where the dependable, quote-unquote, power will come from. So it's kind of a wait and see, and that's what I was alluding to with the high risk. We just don't know. It's interesting because we had an Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting today, and they were talking about car batteries, electric car batteries, and solar panels that many of them are coming kind of the end of their life now, 25 years-ish, right? And there's going to be a challenge in how to dispose of the toxic parts of those things. So my point there is good and, you know, there's challenges and good in everything. And it's always about balancing and trying to figure out at this time, what is the best direction to take?
But as he also indicated, what's at stake in March is the majority of the board.
Absolutely.
Do we want the left-leaning or the right-leaning? Because one side is, right now, you've got the majority. You could lose the majority.
You know something, Dave, and I know you even said it to me, and I've known you so long, you said, I don't always agree with you. And that's all good. But you have to, I think we know about each other after all these years. We care about our home, your hometown, your Mr. Hometown Radio.
Yeah,
and
right.
The experience that I bring to the table, I know my opponent is saying, you know, we need someone with experience. I have to say, I've had the good fortune or the opportunity to get a lot of government experience. So I care about my home. I'm doing my best to make the best choices for the constituents.
We got David on KVEC. Hi, David.
Yeah, how are you? I got to correct the supervisor there. Solar panels don't wear out in 5 years. NASA has still got one working from the 1950s.
Yeah, hang on a second, David. What did you say, supervisor?
They were just talking about there's been panels and batteries and things that will be need replacing that are 25 years old and more because the projects or, you know, some projects have been around for a while, 25 years.
Well, there were some old models that were using a whole lot of copper and whatnot. It's kind of an old scandal about how the copper industry was trying to corner the market in solar. And they had old ideas where there was water that was being pushed through the old copper tubes, and then they would end up in some kind of a steam generator inside. But those are... The modern solar panels they'll last 100 years, if not 1,000. Even if a tree branch falls on top of it, the only thing that's damaged is where the tree exactly hits. 99% of the solar panel will still work. And this idea that we've got to... I actually have contacted the PUC up here in San Francisco, and 4 out of 5 of them readily say that the PG&E is organized crime and that they are a danger to society. And we have to go to public power. If we want these tree branches trimmed, we're going to have to do it ourselves rather than hoping that PG&E is going to do it. We've got to, and the idea that we've allowed PG&E to run a nuclear power plant that has its coolant pond on top of a fault line. On top of a fault line. And now the one that's further down in San Clemente, they're putting the waste 100 feet from the shore. This is insane to allow these power companies to pretend that they have some responsibility. They never have. They allowed Enron to run rampant, and we never got our money back from Enron.
I'm jumping in here, David. Thank you. Which goes back to my question last segment. You're trusting PG&E more than you are Monterey Bay Community Power.
Because I'm not so sure that government expansion into energy is any better. How well have our roads been maintained in the last 20 years? But I will say, the system that we have right now, where you have government oversight on a private company, I'm just saying.
Is that worked well?
That it's worked well until.
So you think the oversight on PG&E has worked well?
Well, is it perfect? I'm going to say, I guess I can't say that anything's perfect. But again, I think it's important to navigate and take into consideration everything. Dependability, what are we going to do if we don't have dependable power?
I have to ask you the question. Are you taking money from PG&E? Are they donating to your campaign?
I haven't taken money. You can look, but last year I believe they donated to my campaign last year. And I think that it's their custom to kind of donate to everyone that runs, that they work with unless they...
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. We'll be back for a final segment with Supervisor Debbie Arnold. All right. If you want in on this conversation with County Supervisor Debbie Arnold as she makes her case for reelection, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830. Or 800-549-5832. Greg is on KVEC. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Good, thank you.
Hey, you know, you brought up a person, Dana Merrill.
Yes.
And he's part of a water district called the EPC, which is the Estrella El Pomar Crescent Water District. And Estrella and El Pomar are in the first district. And Crescent is in the 5th District. So their area is split on which supervisor is over their area. And over 50% of their people that belong to the district don't live here. And if you look at the water code and what happened, their district was illegally formed. They did not meet the requirements to even petition to be a water district. But besides that, there's 500,000 acres in the basin of the North County. Less than 10% are irrigated. And our supervisor, I'm in the 5th District, Supervisor Arnold is over my district. And she represents us. She's the alternate on the GSA board, which is the Groundwater Sustainability Agency. John Pashong, the first district supervisor, is the voting member.
So, Greg, what do we take away from all this?
Well, what we take away from all this is we have a person that you brought up, Dana Merrill, who represents people, and one of their major people is the Justin Winery, which is owned by Stuart Resnick, which is the largest agribusiness in the state of California. And he is a guy that knocked down 8,000 oak trees in North County, illegally graded property, and got away with it because he is a major player in the state of California.
Yeah.
And so he is the one backing Ellen Barreau. So Ellen Barreau is taking money from a guy that knocked down 8,000 oak trees. So I want the people to understand the difference between Supervisor Arnold and the alternate Ellen Barreau.
All right, Greg, you made your point. Thank you for calling in. Any comments, Supervisor? Is he right? Is it Resnick donating to your opponent?
I've never seen that name on a reporting, but I know that many of the water district folks all work together and have their names on reported.
Do you know anything about paying for a study? This is on the Stolberg Law KBC text line. Paying for a study on Monterey Energy that ended up not being favorable.
Yeah, that's the one I was sharing with you.
Okay.
It was the accounting firm that was hired.
Mark is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, and hi, Debbie. Yeah, to me, your shining accomplishment and one of the major accomplishments of any supervisor in the history of this county is going to be your work on the water basin. That was fantastic because that was a sham. That was what was going to happen. But anyway, thank you for that. But my question is, the marijuana issue keeps popping up, and the fields are going into inappropriate places. I was in Napomo the other day off at Schaefer, and I could smell the smell in the neighborhood. And I have a farm background like you, Debbie. I worked on the dairy. I know what smells like. But that was a strong smell that, I mean, I would wake up in the morning and wake up, you know, and go to bed at night. What are you taking into consideration?
Let me jump in because we're almost out of time. I've got 1 minute, Supervisor, sure, for an answer on cannabis.
I'm really glad you brought that up. Our authority, your Board of Supervisors has a land use authority, and our job, I think, my opinion, our job is to create land uses that are compatible and try to reduce conflict. So what we're learning now that the cannabis is legal, the smell is strong, and it is not appropriate in some places. We've seen conflict with, you know, outdoor venues, tasting rooms, wedding venues. We have a lot of things like that mixed in our agricultural zoning throughout the county. And homes, people where there's a lot of homes, the smell is just not compatible with the neighborhood. So we retain the discretionary authority for the land use permits. And in some cases, when the neighbors are coming in and saying, look, you know, we don't have the infrastructure to support the people that are needed to work these bigger cannabis projects, or, you know, it just doesn't work with what is already existing in a neighborhood, we're taking that into consideration on a case-by-case basis.
All right, Supervisor Debbie Arnold, we appreciate your time. One last time, your website is?
Debbie at debbieforslow.com, and that is spelled D-E-B-B-I-E at, or for slow, F-O-R, all spelled out, S-L-O, debbieforslow.com.
Welcoming donations and volunteers. Final thoughts, please.
Dave, I appreciate what you do to allow us, not just today, but all the time. Your show gets a lot of information out to a lot of people, and it's important to have an informed constituency in order to have good government. So,
thank you, Supervisor. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Off we go. We got news. We got traffic. We've got weather. Get ready. Matt Hoy is in the house. This is Hometown Radio.